Lord. Die the flame, be like fire. Kill Lord, and this hell's life as though Jesus Christ. Angels cry, holy, holy, the Lord. Angels cry, holy, holy, the Lord. Angel came touch the cold to my lips the other day. Now my guilt is gone and my sin is there. What you say? Calls to me, who shall I send thee? And I say, Lord, my house and my land and my cars and my job and my family and my stuff is not more important than you. you gotta die. Religion, you gotta die. Nothing, nothing. Hey.
Thank you. Father, we worship you, God. We worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you shed your blood on the cross for us. We thank you that you rose from the dead. You're alive forevermore, interceding for us, praying for us. God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that it's alive and powerful from Genesis to Revelation. We thank you for truth. We thank you for understanding. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us into all truth. We thank you for giving us power to live as a Christian, Lord. We thank you for giving us power to be a witness. Lord, we ask for more of that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Babe, would you do me a favor? I think I forgot my in the car, and I gave you my keys. Man, a lot going on in the world, isn't it? I'm going to need sound, too. I want everybody to take your Bibles and turn, first of all, this morning to, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're actually going to go quite a few places this morning, and I have some things to show you. Kind of going with the flow this morning. Look up some of my notes here. I told you 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio this morning. Welcome you to Fire and Grace Church service. You know, I've never seen a time where more ministers, supposed alleged ministers of the gospel, ministers of Jesus Christ, are mocking or minimizing how close we are to the second coming of Jesus and all the events surrounding that. I mean, it just didn't used to happen. There just didn't used to be this mockery, this attitude. And I'm talking about, now it's always been in the world, thank you. It's always been in the world, but I'm finding more and more of it within the church realm, especially as we are in what I believe the Bible calls the falling away, the apostasy of the end time. Part of that apostasy is what I'm going to speak to you a little bit about, just as my introduction here. But this mockery of how close we are to the Great Tribulation and all those events shows a great ignorance to the Bible, and it shows a great ignorance to just what's going on in the world. But it's a blindness that comes in willfully. And I want to show you that, too, this morning. As Christians, we have got to lose our fixation on the physical world. And I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures that really, when I first came to the Lord, it was a revelation that was just, to me, it's elementary for a Christian. But we get away from it, and we get so focused on the temporal world and not the things that are eternal, that we begin to get blinded. And we get blinded by our own plans or selfishness or sins or temptations. And we get blinded, and something can literally be happening all around us and we can miss it. But this is 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that in that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. Then he begins to talk about Noah and the judgment that came on in the days of Noah, the flood. Now, as I was looking at this, it's interesting because he says, knowing this, in the last days there will come these scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? Right? And he says that they do this because they're after their own desires. Their selfish, worldly desires. They can even be to build a big ministry. You understand? But these scoffers, he says, they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the beginning of creation, meaning people have talked about this forever. Have you heard that one? Oh, people have been saying for a long time that Jesus is going to come and that we're in the last days. And one of the recent prophets out there that I just heard, someone, a friend on my Facebook, posted his comment. But he talked about, basically, what's all this talk about the end time? You know, and he mentioned, he goes, Ebola, blood moon, war in the Middle East, ISIS. But hey, nothing to worry about. Our best days are ahead. That was basically it. Yeah, I agree. What's he smoking? Right? All these things, these unprecedented things that are happening, and it's like, no. We don't need to talk about end time. That's getting focused on the fear. This is kind of where he went with it. It's interesting, too, that he said that his post had 500,000 likes, and yet I didn't count 500,000 likes, though it had way too many. But here's the problem. What the Lord really had jump out at me right there was, you want a hint that in the days of Noah that things might have been getting close? When Noah started finishing the boat and the animals started getting on board, you think they had some signs that it was getting close? And still, they mocked. The Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And in all those 120 years of building the ark and preaching about the flood and God's judgment coming, the people just laughed and they mocked. And you got to remember, this is when people lived. Noah lived 600 years or more, whatever. I can't even remember his age. But this is when, before the flood, this is when people were living 300 years, 400 years, 600 years, 700 years. So their lifetimes was much, much longer. And they heard Noah preach for 120 years. The judgment of God is coming. He's going to flood the world for its wickedness. Did they repent? Did they take him seriously? So God always has his prophets foretell of the coming judgment, a warning. And they're always preachers of righteousness, preachers of repentance, preachers that deal with sin and confront sin. But they always warn there is a judgment of God, the wrath of God, coming for the wicked, coming for those who reject and refuse, who won't repent, who won't ever confront their sin. And that judgment day, God may bear long, as he did in the days of Noah. It took 120 years. But it said he bore long with them. But when the ark began to be finished, and when it was finished, and when God began to help Noah gather the animals into the ark, that should have been a sign to everyone that had been mocking, everyone that had been scoffing, that the day of God's judgment was coming near. And here's the thing. The prophet, the man of God, believed it enough to build an ark, to gather the animals, to get his family in there. No, there were plain signs all around. But see, what this world doesn't understand is the day's coming when it'll be too late. See, in that day is when Noah shut the door and the rain began to fall. Nobody else was getting on board. In our day, it'll be when you take the mark of the beast. That's it. It's over. And you will be forced to decide whether you take it or you don't. You will get on the ark of Jesus, or you will get on the ark of Satan. But you will be forced to choose. But once that decision is made for you, if you decide to deny Jesus, to walk away from Jesus, or to take the mark of the beast that's coming in your right hand or your forehead, and you take that mark, then you have shut the door of the ark. You will not get on the ark of Jesus Christ. You will not get on the road to heaven. The Bible is very clear about that. Revelation chapter 14, if any man takes the mark, he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and the smoke of his torment will go up day and night forever. Taking the mark of the beast is the ultimate denial of the God of the Bible, of Jesus Christ. But folks, I want to tell you, there is great deception in the body of Christ right now. There is great deception in the world, and a greater deception is coming. And I want to say this as clear as I possibly can this morning. There is no true Christianity that exists that is outside of the Bible, the Word of God. You understand? You cannot have a Jesus or Jesus Christ of the Bible if you reject the written Word of God, Genesis to Malachi, Old Covenant, Matthew to Revelation, New Covenant. If you reject the clear, sound teaching in the Book of God, the true Word of God, you do not have God or Christ Jesus. They are in total agreement. That is why one of the names of Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Logos. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away. The Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, is alive and powerful. But see, there are people right now who are saying that they have Jesus. They're saying that they're following a Jesus Christ. They're saying that they are Christian. But they do not believe the Bible or teach the Bible or follow the Bible. Only parts of it, and other parts they say is not true. And this is in the church. Okay? In the church. And I hope this sinks in. This is why in 2 John chapter 2, he says very clearly, 2 John is only one chapter, 2 John chapter 1, but he says very clearly there, verse 9, 10, if any comes and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, but transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. You can't depart from the teachings of Jesus Christ, which is the written Word of God that we have, that's been proven by history, by archaeology, by manuscript evidence, by fulfilled prophecy, and many other means. You cannot depart from the words of this book and the teachings and the doctrines of this book and tell me that you're a Christian and that you have Jesus Christ or that you're following Jesus Christ. A follower of Jesus Christ, a born-again, true follower of Jesus Christ, follows the Bible, believes the Bible is the Word of God, believes the written Word of God is the final authority on all matters. If you don't believe this book, you do not believe God's testimony and you are not saved. Because if you don't believe this book, you call God a liar. If you teach anything contrary to this book, You are a liar, a false teacher, and a false prophet. I don't care how much you talk about Jesus. I don't care how much you say you're a Christian. You are not. I'm going to say it again. No true Christianity apart from faith and adherence to the written word of God. And this is how we know, folks. You want to know? How do we know who's serving God and who's not? How do we know who's a deceiver and a liar? It's simple. When they start departing from this book. When you lose your respect for this book, God's word, you have fallen away from God. When you say, I believe this part, but I don't believe this part, you have fallen away. You have departed from the faith. When you say, oh, yes, I follow Jesus, but I believe all religions will ultimately lead to God, you have departed from the faith. When you say, oh, Jesus Christ has lived many lives, he's been in many physical bodies over the centuries, you have departed from the faith. You are not a true Christian. When you say you have to go through Mary to have salvation in Jesus, no. You have departed from the faith. When, like Pope Francis says, you can be an atheist. If you do good works, you'll go to heaven. You have departed from the faith. It's not difficult. But we let people mesmerize us with their talk of Jesus. And yet, it was Jesus who said this. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. The disciples ask him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Verse 3. This verse doesn't leave me, and I hope that it just rings true in your head. Verses 4 and 5. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Please, let it sink down in your head and in your heart. Jesus said, don't let any man deceive you. They will come, Jesus said, in my name. And even say, I am Christ, I am anointed, I am. But they will deceive many. Everybody look at me. Say this with me. Jesus said, people would come in his name and deceive many. Let that sink in your head and your heart. Because it's getting flat, crackhead crazy in the world. I'm telling you, almost 30 years now of doing this, and I've never seen things as crazy as it is now. Y'all like that? Crackhead crazy. Many. And see, come on now. Look at it again. Verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many. Somebody say that. Many. A few nuts like Reverend Moon. But a lot of people don't even know who the Moonies are. Whatever, what was his name? Was it Sung Young Moon? The founder of the Moon? Many will come. This is what blows my mind. But see, many will come, Jesus said, in my name. So he was saying, no, I'm not talking about the Buddhist. I'm not talking about the Hindu. I'm not talking about the Shintos or the whatever, the hoodoos and the voodoos and the jujus. No. They will come in my name, Jesus. Getting twisted out there. It's really getting twisted. Before we dig into this a little further, I want to get something across to you. Listen to me. Don't let temporal things in this world block your mind or fear or, you know, your own hopes and dreams. This morning when I was praying, these are just some scriptures. You can just write them down. I'm not even going to make you turn to all of them. I'm just going to give them to you. Here's what Jesus said through some of it through the Apostle Paul, but I believe it's the Holy Ghost. Amen? But here's what Paul said. This is Galatians 6:14. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." See, I ask this question to you. Are you truly crucified to the world? Is the world dead to you? See, a lot of this that I'm discovering, especially among younger people, and even a lot of middle-aged people and older people, the reason they want to shy away from these end times, the reason they want to shy away and find prophets and teachers and pastors who won't preach on this, the reason they shy away from it is because deep down, they're still very much alive to the world. They're still very much attached to everything in this world. They're still very much focused on temporal things. And yes, I know we all have to deal with those things. But the Bible is very clear. Paul said the world through Jesus, when he came to Jesus, the world itself was crucified unto him or dead unto him. And he was dead to the world. Paul's agenda he had to become a leader of Israel, to become a spiritual leader and be in the Sanhedrin, and maybe even be high priest or whatever. All of that ambition, he said, when he came to Christ, became dung to him. He died to all that. Paul even went a step further. He even died to the fact of having a wife or having kids. That wasn't God's plan for him. He died to it all. And became sold out. You get what I'm saying? Here's another verse. He said, Philippians 1. This is 21 through 24. Philippians 1, 21 through 24. I'm trying to get across to you the mentality of a Christian. And especially in these times we live in. Here's what Paul said. Philippians 1, 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Is that the mentality of the American church or the Western church world? To live, see, to us, to live, what we say is, to live is to do my own thing, and when I die, hopefully I'll have Christ. Do my own plan, do my own thing, live my own way. But because I believe in Jesus, at the end, maybe I get Jesus. No, no, no. It was completely opposite. Paul said this, Philippians, you can turn there if you want to, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What he's saying, if I live in the flesh, if I'm going to stay alive in this body, I'm going to be laboring for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be laboring for you to know Jesus Christ, to know the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to have my focus going to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is so not the case in so many people that call themselves Christians. Their living of their life now is 99% about them, not about doing what God wants them to do, not about others, not about getting the truth to others, not about trying to get someone saved. It's all about me, 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 me. But if I live in the flesh, he said, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now think about this. This is what Paul was saying. I don't even want to be here. I would rather be in heaven with Jesus. But if I'm going to be here, my work is going to be to get as many people saved, to preach the truth, to teach the truth of the Word of God. It's going to be my priority. And I would love, he said, I'm caught between two desires. I want to be with Jesus more than anything else. But to be here and to be preaching and teaching and to be an example and trying to be minister and bear fruit in the kingdom of God, that's more needful for you. It wasn't needful for Paul. Paul was already saved, sold out. He was ready to die. He was ready for eternity. So he's like, you know what? I would rather go, but I need to stay here for you. Is that the mentality of most Christians? Do most Christians really want to go to heaven, but understand that desire to be with Jesus should only be checked, not by the desire to have something in this temporal world, but that desire should only be checked because you want time to help someone else get there? I've heard so many 20-somethings tell me, well, I don't want Jesus to come right now because I want to get married and I want to have kids. What they're saying is, I don't want to be with Jesus until I'm ready on my own terms. See, this is why the American church hasn't preached real Christianity in a long time. Because when you get saved, the old person dies. To all plans, selfish plans, purposes, pursuits, all of that dies. The old man dies, not just the sinful old man, but the old man who had his own plans. So many Christians, they believe in Jesus, but Jesus has never really, really been first place. They've never been willing to sacrifice much of anything of their own plans or their own desires or their own lust or their very little sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? To do the will of God, to do something for God. Most people can't even give up sexual sin. Most people can't give up the pursuit of some career for money. Some people aren't willing to give up their whole dream and plan they have for the future. there's no real walk with God until that happens. I mean, it's Christianity 101. I am no longer my own, Paul said. I am bought with a price. Then you understand scriptures like this. Let's keep going. Colossians 3. Turn there if you like. Colossians chapter 3. This is one of the first verses that the Holy Spirit spoke to me through tongues and interpretation when I was a young Christian. And he brought this out. He illuminated this. Colossians 3, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, if you are truly crucified with Christ and then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Look at the context. The second coming of Jesus Christ, he's telling us. That's how you're ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's how you're ready for, even if it's death, you're ready because you have not set your affections on things on the earth. You have affections on things above that are eternal. First John 2. Just some scriptures this morning. Now this one will make even more sense. 1 John 2, verse 15. The instructions from the apostle by the Holy Ghost. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then he says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Again, the context, he says, when the world passes away, the whole world system. When is that? End time. Then he starts talking about end time and Antichrist. And he's saying, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you see that? And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. You're either doing your own will, or you're doing his will. And I can tell you this, if you're in sexual sin, you are doing your will. Whether that's homosexuality or adultery or premarital sex or pornography or whatever, if you're into that, that's your habit of life. You are doing your will, not the will of God. If that is a habit of life, a lifestyle, then you are loving the things that are in the world, and the love of the Father is not in you. Now, I'm not saying a Christian will never sin. Hear what I'm saying. Habitual lifestyle, not a fall. Different. But get what I'm saying. Do you love his will or your will? Do you love his word or your plan? Do you seek the things that are above, or are you seeking temporal things here on the earth? Which do you seek more? Are you seeking to lead someone else there to heaven? Are you seeking to be relevant and not offend people here on this. If I hear that word spoken by one more lukewarm backslidden preacher, I'm going to vomit. The church has to be relevant. You know, we're not doing any more Hillsong songs. Done with it. Hillsong, done. Their leader, their former leader, was a pedophile, the father of Brian. And now Brian can't decide where he stands on a whole lot of things. And he's letting his pastors pretty much believe whatever he wants. And he's the one that's recently said Allah is the same God as Jehovah. And then he was in a press conference and failed to take a stand against homosexuality and then got under so much pressure that he came back and backtracked and said that he stands on the biblical side. But he's got a pastor in New York who won't take a stand. That's one of his Hillsong pastors, but he won't remove him or do anything about it. They're just, listen, backslidden hypocrites, caving to what this world wants, except homosexuality as normal. It ain't normal. Right? You get what I'm saying? That's why I told Nancy, no more Hillsong songs for us. This church will not do them. You want to listen to them at your... We're not doing them in church. We're done. There's some others we may be cutting out, too. When you buy their CDs or you buy their iTunes stuff, what you're doing is you're giving money to fund the nonsense that they preach. So think about that. Oh, I know. They got some good songs. I've noticed anyway, most people that are talented with music are flaky as the day is long anyway. Something in the wiring. To be good at music, you got to be weird and off base. I mean, really, well, you know what's more important to me? Why we still don't have a worship leader here. Because I can't find one that's sound doctrine or lives a holy life. I've been in big churches, you guys. I've been in churches. I've been in ministerial organizations with many churches. I've been in staff meetings with big churches. I can just tell you across the board. You want to talk about the number one ministry that's the biggest problem in every church is the worship ministry. More than any other aspect. It goes like this: worship ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry. Top three problem ministries. In that order. I'm just telling the truth. Y'all don't want me to lie to you, do you? So, you know, we just avoid all those problems. Just don't do it, any of it. I've tried. Have I not tried to have a worship leader? You saw how that went. And a youth group. And a children's ministry. We've tried all three. You know where they went? To hell in a handbasket. Show me where it's Bible anyway to have all these different groups split up and divided in church. That's just made up man crap is what it is. It really is. We think we got to have that stuff. There's no magic, you guys, to get somebody saved. It all works the same way. I don't care if they're a child. I don't care if they're a teenager. I don't care if they're an adult. I don't care if they're a stubborn old codger. They got to hear the gospel enough until the Holy Spirit convicts them enough that they're miserable enough to repent of their sin. And that can happen at 5. It can happen at 4. It can happen at 13. It can happen at 19 like it did with me. Or it can happen at 75. But until they receive the gospel and the message that they've heard about Jesus and repentance and dealing with their sin, there's no silver bullet. I just tell people all the time, it's so silly, you have a free will. I don't care how old you are, free will, right here, free will. 4-year-old, free will. 4-year-old told me I was breaking in her room this morning. Free will. Free will. I can't make you get right with God, John or Jason or Ian or Josiah. Pastor Dean can't make you. So guess what? If I can't, with the way I preach and what I preach, a youth pastor who's not even near as experienced as me won't do it either. Matter of fact, that just ends up being stupid. It ends up with problems, like, you know, talking about God in his underwear. Like a fat guy watching TV in his underwear, as we heard from one youth. See, because that's just immaturity. You don't put youth and novices in positions of authority. I mean, it's just simple. But we don't want to do things the Bible way. We want to do things where everybody else doesn't. We want to have a king like all the other. We'll be like all the other churches. Nope. I marvel, because I see y'all. I marvel that some of you can sit in here. Some of you have to, if you have a choice. But I marvel, though, that some of you still sit in here, and some of you for several years and have heard the kind of preaching that you hear, and you still aren't living up. God help you. You want to talk about being accountable? You are accountable. Right? Look back up. I gave you some scriptures. Right? Why am I saying all this? Because it's selfishness, it's lustfulness. Selfish desires, it's selfish agendas. It's all these things. That's why you hear people go, I don't want to hear about end time stuff. I guarantee you that comes out of somebody's mouth. They say they're a Christian, but that comes out of their mouth. They are backslidden, away from God, or just ignorant as a rock in the yard. Because it reveals. The words you speak reveal. Jesus said it, didn't he? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You might keep it, you might hold the beach balls underwater for a while and fool some folks, but eventually you can't hold them under there long. They pop up. And that's the way it is with what's in your heart. It's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later. Holding beach balls underwater as long as you can. I'd like to watch some of you try to hold them under there. Note, what dominates your heart will come up and out of you. You will say it or you will do it eventually. What you meditate on, what is your desire, what is your love, what is your passion, what you're filling yourself with, it's going to come up. It's going to come out. So if it's the world, it's worldliness, if it's lust, if it's sex, sexual immorality, whatever it is, if it's money, lust for power, lust for this or that, it's going to come out of you. That's why people end up acting on these things, because they've meditated on them for so long, entertained them for so long. And can I just add this? As a pastor and as a minister, I'm probably more sad now at the state of Christians than I have ever been in my life. I mean, literally sad, literally kind of heartbroken. I see the confusion and all the different ideas being thrown around, you know, the media, the internet, social media. I see so many people so easily swayed this way, that way. When will Christian people get in the Word of God believe it, die to their own selfish ideas and doctrines of men and selfish plans, and set their affections on the things that are above, the things that are eternal. You see, because folks, I'm going to show you something this morning. Some of you may have listened to the radio show Tuesday night. We covered this. Some of you didn't get to. But I want to show you some things that are happening right now. I want to show you where the deception's going. I want you to see it. Because, you know, you could sit there all day long and preach about there's coming many in the name of Jesus to bring deception. Huh? You know in this church that there's coming a world government and a world religion and a mark in your right hand or forehead that will determine whether you can buy or sell. Right? But when you see it being pushed like you're about to see, trust me, this is the PR. I'm about to show you the PR campaign that they're pushing toward 2017 to implement this. Will they? I'm not setting a date. I'm just telling you what they're shooting for. But I'm going to show you their video. Now, this is a group. I'll show you this video. It's short. Group. They call themselves Lie Killers. They should be called Lie Givers. They're also connected to another group. I believe it's one in the same group, but they've split themselves up. One's called Lie Killers, and the other one's called One Christian Authority. Now remember, in Matthew 24, if you skip down a little bit, Jesus said, if anyone comes to you and says, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, right? Well, these people, these Lie Killers, One Christian Authority, it appears that they are very well connected. Actually, I did some research on them last night. They're very well connected. They spend a lot of money on production, subliminal messages within their productions. Kevin slowed their frames down and discovered their subliminal messages. Okay? But they say that they are in contact with Jesus Christ. And they say that Jesus is God. Oh, true. That is true. But then they start talking about that you have to take a mark in your right hand or your forehead. And they're twisting this thing. So let's just look at this. I just played this video for you. If you didn't get to see the radio show or hear the radio show the other day, then you need to see this right here. Go!
that love, loyal peace, and security. Accept from you, oh Lord.
Because their God is perfect. Now, that was just an introduction. Yes, it gets worse. It gets far worse. And we're going to take a little time because I want you to see this for yourself. The pastor didn't just say it, but you need to see it. And for those videos, it gets more deceptive. Let me just say very clearly that these people say that they don't believe all of the Bible to be true. They say that Jesus has lived many lives. He's been in many bodies. And they also say that he is in Europe right now. Yes. Okay? Y'all need to see
this. Sculpting the sleek body of the all-new Mercedes-Benz GLA took nearly 600 pounds.
All right. There you go. You can see that. I've got to show you part of this one and then part of the third. I call this the name of God, the seal of God, the mark of God. Stylized 66. Thank you, Christ.
Thank you.
I know for those listening, it's a lot of silence, but you can look these videos up. But one more. Yes, these are full of subliminal messages, so I wouldn't advise you sitting around watching them very often. But this one is interesting here. I'm going to show you, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Thank you. These websites, these Facebook pages all link to these other Facebook pages. I think they're all one and the same. But I wanted you to see this because what this is right here, somebody spent a lot of money and posted these videos just this year, 2014, these videos. And they just have just dozens and dozens of videos, most of which they posted on the same day, meaning they had them all prepared and ready to go. These are not cheaply done, as you can tell, and with subliminal messages in it. Somebody has some technical skill to do these things that they're doing here. So what I'm getting at, some people say, well, somebody's just joking, it's just a joke. But no, what I've read about these folks, they're pretty serious about getting their message out. Now remember, Matthew 24, verse 21 says that, then there will be great tribulation such as was never since there was a time. And he said, verse 24, for false Christ will rise and deceive many, and they will do signs and wonders in so much as apostle they deceive the very elect. So he was telling us there'll be many claiming to be the Christ or the Messiah. But just to close this out, is this symbol going to be the mark of the beast? I don't know. I'm just telling you what they are saying, this group that's spending a lot of money to get out this message. Okay, we do know that, and I've played this on the radio show on Prophecy Quake several times, but Regina Dugan, who used to work for the government agency DARPA, now works for Google. I played the video of her with the TED Talk talking about the new technology to take the RFID chips and put them in what's called an electronic tattoo. And that technology has been developed to attach or implant this tattoo on your body with any design that they so choose, and that the electronics will be flexible like your skin, will be able to flex up to 200% without damaging the electronics. And so the technology is here to have a actual physical mark that can be seen, as well as the electronic chip to be implanted to store banking information and so on and so forth. I personally would not doubt that this may be the exact design now that's come forward for the electronic tattoo of the mark. I've been thinking about this because, you know, we talked about the chip being implanted, and that's fine and dandy, but that's not that chip, though it can be scanned at about a 50 feet difference. It's not something, unless you have one of those scanners, you couldn't just look at somebody and go, okay, they have the mark, they don't have the mark. You'd be wondering who did and who didn't type thing, right? Well, I think they want it as an outward sign of identification, that you have it, therefore you're part of the team. And there's so much more to this, but I just wanted you guys to be informed. I know some of you didn't get to hear the radio show. I actually didn't get to get into the FEMA video on the radio show, so that's completely new information there. But be careful when you're watching these things, because after watching several of them, I really had to break some demonic mess off of me this morning. I could feel it. So it wouldn't hurt to pray over yourselves. for just even seeing this stuff and hearing it, because there's some real stuff behind it, some demonic power, which tells me also that it's not a game, it's not a hoax. Somebody believes this. And when you look at the sites connected to this, you're looking at one called the Black Cube Religion. You're looking at Satan 2014, one of them, Facebook pages. Another one is 666 2014 or something like that. Anyway, they're not hiding it. World peace, they're going to, what the Bible says, and I talked about it, by peace it says the Antichrist will come and destroy many. By peace, I'm promising peace, safety, security. That's the game. This will become a mark of some kind, whether it's this or something else. It will have an ID chip in it, and it will have some type of identifying characteristic to it. But this is eerie, especially when you see the celebrities. What was her name? Kate Beckinsale or Beckinsdale or whatever his name is from Pearl Harbor. You see Ed Norton. You see Selena Gomez. This thing's getting so many views, these videos. If those celebrities, somebody's using their image to, and say, quoting them, it would be removed so fast. If they protested, it'd be removed so fast from YouTube, you make your head spin. So I tend to lean to the fact that they have said that and they are in agreement with it. So what you have just seen, I believe, the beginning of a PR campaign for where they're headed. And once this war between Israel and Islam, the Muslims, take place in the Middle East, the world will demand disarmament of all peoples, uniting of all religions, uniting of all governments under the UN world government. And at some point, this will be some type of mark like this. It may even be this, or like this will be. Listen, I've told you guys that the greatest symbol, the most prevalent symbol that Satan has used for himself has always been the triangle, right? The Bible says that the mark is connected to 666. There you have a perfect triangle with 666 stylized in it, right? So we shall see, but you've been informed, amen? This is happening. This is a multi-million dollar marketing campaign coming at you to promote this. Where do you think we'll be in 3 years? If this is now, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Lord, I thank you that you make us aware of what our enemy's doing, what our enemy's planning. Lord, I thank you that he doesn't have the final say. That your people have been told to resist the new world order, the world government, the mark of the beast, stand faithful to the end for the truth of the Bible, the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the phony Jesus or the coming Antichrist that's going to proclaim himself to be a Christ. Lord, you told us that this is coming. The warning's here. Lord, help us warn everyone we can of what is coming and to not go down that road. Help us show them the twist that they're even claiming this is the mark of God, not the mark of the beast. The twist in using the name of Jesus, the twisting of this whole satanic plot. God, we ask you, let your truth go forth through us. Let us lead many people into Jesus Christ, the true Jesus, into the kingdom of God, to resist this mark, evil, antichrist system that's come. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And listen, here's what's wild, you guys. These people started this stuff probably as early as around March. I haven't seen some research. We do some bouncing around all over the internet, and we're just now coming across this. I haven't seen any other any other ministry out there discuss this to any degree. I think I'm finding out, and just remember this, just because a ministry out there claims to be Christian, you better watch out. There's a particular one that I've noticed that has posted some of their stuff in a favorable manner, and it's troubling, but we won't get into that right now. But just understand that this is, these people are picking up a lot of followers, and it's just weird. So, I mean, did you ever dream you'd see a PR campaign? Without this mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. Did you? Pastor D didn't make this stuff up, man. It was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago, and it's happening. Right? Do you want to read something? And that is, it's, you know, you have to tell yourself exactly that. The scriptures, I will not fear what man can do to me. And I do know this, that if any one of us, you know, I don't know, everybody's going to have a different, we'll all have a different walk. We have to walk this thing out. Some will walk through it all, protected, delivered, be here for the second coming of the rapture of Jesus Christ. Some will be martyrs. That's just the fact of the reality that we live in. It is the reality right now for people in the Middle East. But I do know this, whatever is your faith in this end time scenario, the grace and the power of God will be there for you. I remember when Stephen was being stoned. Now think about this. He was being stoned, yet you never heard him say ouch or cry out or anything like that. He said, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, fear in him. You hear what I'm saying? The grace of God will be with you. That's why I'm glad you read that. Don't fear what man can do. Or kill, even if he kills the body, he cannot take your soul away from you. You stand with Jesus. And this is, again, this is that thing about being focused on what is eternal, not what is on temporal. Amen? You know, there's, and y'all hear what I'm saying. It's always been the mandate on the people of God to give the unsaved and the backslidden and those living in sin and those living in deceit and lies and deception. It's always been the mandate of God for us to be bold enough to give them a warning, to give them the truth, to call them to repentance, to call them away from deception and danger. That's always been the case. But I am telling you now, we have got to warn people not only of sin, not only of the deception, but of, we've got to warn people about the plan, the coming world government, world religion, mark of the beast. We have got to warn people that it's going to be slick. It's going to be deceptive. It's going to put a lot of pressure on them to submit and go with the flow. There's so many people that we take it for granted because I've preached it to you now for years, talked about it for years. But, you know, there's churches that never talk about this. There's people sitting in the pews, hundreds, thousands of them today in church, sitting in pews and chairs in churches who don't know anything about this. They don't read their Bibles, and then they got preachers standing there going, oh, we're not close to the end times. You don't need to worry about that. See, I'm telling you, think outside your reality. Your reality, you know what's coming. Are you warning them? Are you worried about looking like a Fruit Loop or a conspiracy nut? It's coming. No one's going to stop it. And whether it's 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, it's coming soon. And people need to know the truth. Map it out for them. Don't be ashamed. Listen, end time Bible prophecy. What's in Revelation 13 and 14? What's in Matthew 24? What's in Matthew 13? What Paul just read, what was that, the Matthew 10? And then it's in Luke 12. All of this stuff is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I don't want to talk about end times. Well, you don't want to talk about sexual sin either. Oh, Hillsong, you don't want to talk about homosexuality. You don't want to take a stand. Joel Osteen on, you know, Larry King Live, you can't take a stand whether Jesus is the only way to heaven or not. We have to take a stand for every particular truth of the Bible. You don't pick and choose. You don't leave out. It is where we are. So even people who are stubborn right now and won't turn loose of their sin or their rebellion or thinking you're a kooky nutcase, when this comes to their face, they will remember that nutcase kept telling me this was coming. That Bible thumper kept telling me they were going to push a world government and that it was evil. The Bible says if we don't warn them, then their blood's on our hands. So I know you sit there and you go, I get tired of hearing it, Pastor Dean. Well, I'm sorry. You better find another church then, because you're going to hear it from me. You know why? People listen to this broadcast who don't sit week after week. And they listen. Hundreds of people, week by week. I mean, every month now, just listening on Blog Talk Radio, we're 800, 900, 1,000 listens to these broadcasts. So I'm going to keep talking about it. And so should you. Your family tells you, I'm tired of hearing it. Shut up. Go, no, I'm sorry. You tell me to shut up. Jesus told me to preach. I guess I better obey Jesus. And listen, you'll obey somebody. You will obey somebody. Pick Jesus, amen. Pick the Word of God. Get your focus on eternal things. Amen. Kevin, would you pray over the offering? Amen. Anybody have anything else before we listen? Read your Bible, folks. Read them. Meditate in it. Know it. Go home. Read Revelation 13 and 14. Read Matthew 24. Read Matthew 13. Read Luke 21. Read these things. Get them down inside of you. Revelation 17. Get them in and tell people. Tell people. Show people this. Do this. You got some skeptics? You got some skeptics? Read them Revelation 13 and then play this video for us. The short 3.5 minute one. And then ask them, are you ready to listen? You ready to learn something? Just try it. Have fun with it. See, I wondered how long it was going to take them before they started showing their hands. Amen. Sooner or later, in every poker game, you got to turn your hand over. That's it. All right. Y'all know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Do this for me. Children, is Andrea outside? Children, y'all go ahead and depart for a second. I'm going to show the adults one more thing that I don't want y'all to see.
That looks kind of like what they had, I think, on the movie The Hunger Games.
Now, you two can stay.
Engineers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Engineers.